Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
I want to continue today in our lingering series with the second message, the lingering peace of a forgiven past. I begin today with life, liberty, and the pursuit of holiness. I know it's supposed to be happiness, but happiness is subjective. Holiness is supernatural. Holiness is sovereign. Holiness is the character of God that is permanent, whereas happiness is temporary. And so the peace we gain from the character of God far exceeds temporary gains, earthly successes, and human prosperity. Psalm 103:10 says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins." This is so encouraging because he doesn't deal with us after our sins. Now think about it. The word "after" is a word connected to the past. He knows us before our sins. He sees us ahead of the pitfalls. He watches us knowing that we will fail. He could zap us before we make a fool of ourselves or before we bring shame to his honor. But he lets us continue in our sin so that someday we might better continue in his gracious sympathy. Justice says, "Look at what you did." But grace points to the cross and says, "Look at what the Lamb did." One demands punishment because the evidence is blaring, but the other brings pardon because the blood is redemptive. The mercy of the Lord is everlasting. The heart of God is to motivate men into better actions and greater character. The law looks back and says, "This is where you were when this happened." Or, "Why did you do what you did? What was your motive? How many times have you broken this particular commandment?" But the blood, it looks forward. Where will you be? What will you become? How will your life and character be transformed? How will your life be a witness to the goodness of God? And then the scripture says, "Not only hath he not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Verse 11 says, "For as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." Now, when I think of this vertical, limitless, infinite measure of how the heaven is so much higher above the earth, I love the difference that we see even in nature in the different layers of the earth's atmospheres. For instance, the troposphere, which is closest to the earth, goes to about 40,000 feet high. It's higher in the summer and lower in the winter, but the average is around 40,000 feet. And in this layer, the temperature decreases with increasing height at an average of about 3.5 degrees per 1,000 feet of altitude. Since the air cools with altitude and how warm it gets with buoyant air in a thunderstorm, it continues to accelerate upward and sometimes at great speeds. So when you see those intimidating, gargantuan thunderheads flatten out into what is known as an anvil-shaped cloud, it's because the storm can't go into the stratosphere, which starts at that 40,000-foot atmospheric boundary. The warm air of the thunderhead is now reaching a warming environment and can't go much further, and therefore flattens out. Now, I believe that the heavens go much higher, as there are several more atmospheres to consider, such as the mesosphere, which is above the stratosphere and is roughly 22 miles thick. But for the sake of God's amazing forgiveness and the ensuing peace that it brings, we'll just speak about what happens to the storm clouds when the troposphere enters into the stratosphere. You see, God's mercy goes beyond the angry tempest of your failures. His mercy extends into a warmer environment of hope where the horrors of your past leave off. His mercy reaches into a higher atmosphere of grace where the condemnation of yesterday's incriminating acts are stopped. My friend, that storm of your past can't go any further. The rising thunderheads of guilt and disgrace can't go into the atmosphere of forgiveness and love. It is truly immeasurable mercy. It takes a further distance to pass God's forgiveness than it does to get past your mistakes. And Paul said, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. It goes into a higher atmosphere. It reaches a greater level of authority. Your failure does not have greater authority over your faith. And yet in our flesh, we often feel that way. We are often stymied in our spiritual growth because we don't let grace continue to minister through us and for us and help us to grow beyond these things. And so we need that grace that's in a different atmosphere, because forgiveness is a higher environment. It goes beyond the levels of sin. It goes beyond the ordinary steps and staircase and all of those things of the past of your shame. But often it takes so much more out of our spiritual energy just to get out of the atmosphere of our past. In the same way that it took some of the first Apollo missions to the moon more fuel to get through the first mile of the journey to the moon than it did the rest of the trip. And so, my friend, pass the clouds of your past into the clemency of what God has for your future. Beyond the curtain of a dark tempest into the compassion of an old rugged cross. And we all need to know the beauty of sunshine above the clouds of shame. We all need to know the freedom from fear that is gained when you know you're in a place that you can no longer be threatened by harm. That's why the scripture says the name of the Lord is a strong and mighty tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. There's no greater security than the presence of the Lord, because the presence of the Lord repels deception and the accusing lies of darkness. The presence of the Lord invites the broken heart into the serene confines of hope, the environment of peace, and the strengthening atmosphere of the blessings of the Lord. The presence of the Lord invokes a confidence that everything's going to be all right. You see, there are pleasures, according to the psalmist, forevermore in the presence of the Lord. There is an overwhelming sense of appreciation for what a disciple gains in the next world as compared to the earthly gains in this world. And it also reminds me of the cities of refuge in the Old Testament. This is where the avengers of slain family members could not go past the gates. They couldn't cross the lines of grace. The blades of hate would find no blood, and the fists of fury no satisfaction, because the desperate seeker had a place to rest. Death was delayed. Vindication was paused. Retribution was hindered. And my friend, in the presence of our refuge God, we have a lingering peace of a forgiven past. John 14:27 states, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, my friend, Jesus didn't give peace with human limitations, peace that could be reversed if certain demands weren't met. No, when Jesus gives peace through the Holy Ghost, it cannot be revoked by the past. It cannot be reversed by demonic agendas. It will never expire by a certain date where human intentions can maliciously take over. No, this peace is everlasting. This peace forgets the past and drives you with an ambition to be pleasing to God and to reach for the better things of the kingdom of God, to reach for what true prosperity looks like when you walk in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. See, when the world gives peace, it gives peace with earthly terms, and those terms too often end up bringing more strife than what was initially in existence before any peace was given to begin with. But God, When he gives peace, it's with heavenly terms. It's simply living for God. Because if you live for yourself, then you won't really have peace. And if you live for the satisfaction of others only, then you really won't dwell in a place of peace. If you live only to satisfy even religious demands, then the peace is thinly veiled and ultimately shallow in its own abilities. And you won't be able to really have peace living only with restrictions and concepts of what you can't do. But the peace of God, it receives biblical restrictions as opportunities to grow in the kingdom, to mature in the kingdom, to have greater ministry and purpose in the kingdom. It's like a plant that needs to be confined to a wooden stake. And so it grows along the stability and the firmness of that wooden stake until it gains its strength to stand on its own against winds and bad weather. And so it is in the Spirit. We gain peace from the biblical standards of living and discipleship, not as dreaded obligations, but as spiritual opportunities to grow, to stand, to endure, to live free from sin's weaknesses, to produce fruit, to stretch out branches of faith, to rise further and further above the soils of our humanness into the higher atmospheres of God's likeness. Simply stated, there is peace in doing it God's way. There is peace in surrendering our wills and ambitions for the better designs that God has for our lives. There is peace in obtaining forgiveness for our wrongs. Then there is for us to strive to have meaning and harmony without God, without heaven, without being an orchestra with what God is designing for us. You see, we wrestle with what's important to the world and then what's more important to God. We struggle with trying to fit our earthly concerns into our Christian walk. Bills to be paid, promotions to be earned, retirement funds to be saved, health issues to be resolved, human conflicts to cease. The daily grind of existence and of dealing with our human emotions is at times wearisome and futile. It's the racetrack of life where we speed in circles, racing for a finish that really ends where it all began, and we are right back at the same place, the same frustrations, the same fruitless labor of pity and sadness and bartering with human sensations for a smile here and there. But the peace of God, which passes understanding, needs no human comprehension. It just needs our trust that God's way is better. God's path is headed in the right direction. God's will is more fulfilling. God's word is a trusted foundation to build on. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." There's that reaching beyond, overcome. It's literally what that word means. You're at one place and you rise above it. You transcend all of the earthly bonds and all of the ligatures of lies and deception that try to hold us down and keep us in spiritual reserve. But he said, "I've overcome." That means just like the troposphere, he's gone into the stratosphere of grace. He's gone beyond the earthly bonds of temptation and sin and iniquity and transgression and human failure and human sickness. And the scripture says then in Psalm 103:12, to go back to Psalm 103, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Now think about it. We talked about the vertical sense that the grace of God and the power of God and the forgiveness of God is higher than the heaven is above the earth. But now we're talking about that which is east from the west. And this sense of what is being said here is unreachable. This is not a measurable distance. It is the horizontal revelation of God's mercy, dealing with us on a plane of sin and hope. Sin is stretched so far away from the sinner that now the sinner can hear the voice of God without condemning interference. Isn't that encouraging? Doesn't that make you want to pray? Doesn't that make you want to surrender to the presence of God and take the load and the guilt and all those sacks of sin you've been carrying around? Doesn't that make you want to go to the cross and get rid of them and trust a Savior that would bring you peace? Because think about that phrase, as far, in that phrase of as far as the east is from the west. As far is truly contrasted with east from the west. If I said as far as Denver is from Dallas, then you would have a measurable. But you can't measure forgiveness with a ruler or a mileage track or traced steps of grounds discovered and surveyed. You couldn't even say as far as Pluto is from Mercury or our galaxy from the most distant galaxy from us. And then think of the directional revelation, east from west. It keeps moving. It's an infinite gap that keeps growing. Forgiveness from condemnation, my friend, incrementally grows more distant with each service that you attend, with each perfecting season of prayer, with each fiery trial successfully endured, and every testimony gained. The power of forgiveness increases and guilt of the past decreases as you walk with God. My friend, that should inspire you to keep on the move and to keep on going toward faith and faithfulness. And then Psalm 103 and 13 states, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Now I want to kind of do a little bit of wordplay here with that word frame in Psalm 103 and 14. And I want you to think, as the aperture of heaven opened and the orange eye of the sun appeared, caught in the Photoshop of time and eternity were snapshots of war and peace and of struggle and conquest. Forgiveness, editing out dark spots of failure, the crimson filter of sacrifice, washing out blemishes of sin, youthful hopes captured and highlighted more than the old tainted edges of iniquity. Shades of grace grow brighter. Shame is faded and eventually brushed out. Some things blurred in vision are fixed by love and cleared by spiritual confidence, and the picture of you is better. This is what it means, my friend, to have the lingering peace of a forgiven past, because the Lord pities his children. He has compassion on those that at times can't seem to help themselves, and sometimes understanding that the Lord knows our picture. He knows where we're at in the photo album of time and eternity. He understands where at times we feel framed and trapped and boxed in and settled, and the way that the things of the world have scarred us and blemished us and made us feel like everything that we could ever attempt to do is absolutely impossible and there is no hope for us. But remember that as high as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward us. And he that has put our sins as far as the east is from the west. And I go back to that point even for a moment, because when we consider how the Lord has pitied us and when we consider that he remembers that we are dust, even if the certain infinity of the east and from the west was just applied to the sunrise and sunset of a 12-hour day at the equinox. That's when the sun is exactly on the equator and the length of the day and night is equal. That makes the distance from sunrise to sunset, now get this, 24,900 miles. So even if this were measurable, that's a long way to put an indictment of your past from the pardon that you've gained through the gospel from Christ and the cross. But I tell you again, when it comes to his pity and his compassion, his love and his mercy, and him remembering how frail we are and how conducive we are to the corrupting elements of the earth and of worldliness and of a wicked society, and that as we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, that we still wrestle these things at times from a fleshly standpoint. It's hard for us at times to get in the spirit like we want to. It's hard for us at times to be spirit-led like we really are motivated to do at other times. And so even if there are things that are measurable, God's grace and his mercy and his love, it's always immeasurable. And that's something, my friend, to hold on to in a time of panic and chaos in our confusing world. My friend, there is a true lingering peace of a forgiven past, because when the blood of Jesus washes away those sins, they don't come back. And when the name of Jesus and the authority of that name has been spoken over you in the waters of baptism, it's a true soul cleansing. It's a spiritual bath unlike anything in all of time and eternity. And I thank God today for the blood of Jesus that washes away all of our sins. Think about what it says in 2 Peter 1 and 2 when Apostle Peter says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that knowledge that we have of his death, burial, and resurrection, that knowledge that we have of the outpouring of his Spirit on our generation, that knowledge that we have of the graciousness and kindness of God to reach for us when we didn't deserve it and to lead us out of darkness into marvelous light, it's something that multiplies peace. So the multiplying of peace doesn't come from divisive action. It doesn't come from things that tear apart. It doesn't come from things that break down. It doesn't come from things that deconstruct your faith. So let me ask you today, what is deconstructing your faith? Why are there certain moments when you're paying more attention to the failures of your past than you are to the presence of God in your life right now that's leading you, that's helping you, that's giving you the ability to grow beyond the mistakes of yesterday, to grow beyond the immaturity that you once had in making bad decisions? You're now a better disciple. You're one that has many more months or even years behind you, and you're growing in the Lord and in the fruits of the Spirit. So I pray today that your peace is multiplied. Part of the reason that it's multiplied is that you can look back, my friend, and see the many times that God has had to forgive you, even since you've had an Acts 2:38 experience. Even since you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've still had to come to your advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous, and you've had to lay your unrighteousness out before the Lord. You've had to lay down a wicked thought. You've had to lay down some intention that was suddenly full of envy or strife or malice or something of the world that you knew was upsetting this balance of your relationship with God and the peace that comes with that relationship. And so if peace is going to be multiplied, then that also means that our knowledge of God and of what we have received from the Lord is also being increased. My friend, live in the peace of increase and not in the discouragement of decrease. Live in the increase of the knowledge, that is, knowing that the mercy of God's everlasting, that his grace is always there for you, even though at times we all know we don't deserve it. But that doesn't mean we start justifying sin in our lives. That doesn't mean we get a careless and throw caution to the wind attitude and act like none of this matters. And we then get steeped into some kind of self-religion where we start relying on our own self-deceiving interpretations of the Bible. But we come back to that fundamental understanding that we have forgiveness. This is not something like a cheap credit card that we're going to keep using over and over again, you know, swiping the credit card machines of grace because we think no matter what we do, God's going to approve of it. No, no, no. That's cheapening what God has done for us and cheapening the ability of the Spirit of God to produce in us the ability to overcome. So 2 Peter 3:14 says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace." And what helps bring that peace? To be without spot and blameless. So the more that we live a clean life, the more that we live an obedient discipleship journey with the Lord, every step that we take, the more that we can erase the blemishes in our life that hold us back and anything that would pinpoint blame because of pride or the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes, the conditions of the world, or things of the past that come back to tempt us to do things that we have already been delivered from. My friend, today, it is my prayer that the peace of God be multiplied in you. It is my prayer that you continue to come to that place without spot and blameless before the Lord, because there's blessing in being blameless. And we become more blameless because we live washed by the blood. We live in that constant regeneration of the Word of God that dwells in us, that leads us, that guides us. And so my prayer today, friend, that you truly find that lingering peace of a forgiven past, in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.